Welcome to the Payment Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack, and this episode is going to be a bit of a roundtable discussion. We're going to be hearing from Tom Pierce, who is the Chief Marketing Officer at PSCU, Ivana Spadiger, who is the Manager of Fraud Product Strategy at PSCU, Sarah Grotta, who is the Director of Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service at Mercator Advisor Group, and Brian Riley, who is the Director of the Credit Advisory Service at Mercator Advisory Group. During this roundtable discussion, they're going to be talking about the recent ION Payment Study conducted by PSCU. And this study takes a look at fraud, credit, and debit usage for credit unions and credit union members. So there's a lot of great insights in this episode. So without any further delay, let's start the show.
Well, welcome. And today we're going to be talking with PSCU. And one of the focuses is on a recent report called from the ION Payment Study. And I'd like to kick it off by asking Tom a question. And what's interesting about the report is it centers on two factors which drive consumer choice, and that's safety and convenience. Let's focus on safety for a moment, because with all the data breaches we see in today's world, that's something that's on just about everyone's mind. So, Tom, what would you think are the top findings from the report?
Well, thank you, Brian. And yes, we did find that security, safety, and really the convenience factors were the top drivers of payment choice for both credit union members and non-members in terms of what type of payment, debit, credit, digital, cash, they used in different formats. This was severely impacted by what we saw in terms of the number of folks that had been impacted in some way in this survey period. We had 13% of credit union members had experienced some type of card fraud. And you had a 4% that had their ID stolen. And this was really prevalent across the different generations, particularly as we looked at the boomers, the Xers, and the older millennials. All of them had reported some type of card fraud as a leading incident for them in the past 6 months to a year. So it really has impacted their decision-making process for payments.
Well, sure. And when you think of the number of even disputes that come in, we did a recent study on disputes, and about 25 million disputes coming through transactions. And we also find that one of the big saving factors is when customers are alerted through regular online feeds. Like, you know, you just made a transaction, you get an alert, was that you? But it's amazing how it really impacts so many different customers.
And certainly, I think on the debit front, we're seeing more fraud in debit card on the card not present front. And that's it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's obviously a bad sign, but it's a result of debit card consumers getting a little bit more comfortable utilizing their debit card in card not present environments. But, you know, I think it also represents a little bit of an opportunity, too, for credit unions and for any issuer, quite frankly. And Brian, you know, you were talking about getting alerts, and most institutions have alerts and some have controls. But I think we find that the, you know, maybe the utilization or the engagement around those solutions is a little bit low. And so it's an opportunity to market them and to get that engagement going to really make them effective.
Yeah, I would agree. And this is Ivana. I would like to also add to that is I think that we as an industry have done a fabulous job giving that peace of mind to our cardholders of that zero liability. So for ages, we have always told them, don't worry about your account. We have your back with the zero liability. Well, to your point, Sarah, the industry has changed quite a bit. And then with the newer technology like alerts and controls, it is definitely a great opportunity to go back to the front line and re-educate those cardholders to be more engaged with their account. And that is one of our principles when it comes to fraud prevention here at PSCU as well, that the more that your member is engaged with their account, it's another set of eyes that is protecting that account.
And one of the mantras of fraud, too, is it always goes to the weakest channel. You know, so when you think about what EMV has done, it's done some really significant things as far as controlling counterfeit fraud. And with that, you know, the crooks aren't retiring. They're just finding new holes. And that's where one of the sensitivities of card-not-present fraud comes.
Absolutely. So and you mentioned finding the weakest link. I'll tell you just some of the things that are happening in the industry. You mentioned it, right? EMV has done a tremendous job And it's certainly worked to reduce the amount of card present when it comes to the fraud. But now fraud has moved to the card not present channel as well as other channels. I can tell you that some of the trends that we've seen over the past few years is fraud moving down the phone channel. Phone channel is very vulnerable. With all of the breaches we've had over the past years, whether it's the Equifax breach or some of the government breaches, and even 5 years ago, the Experian breach, these fraudsters have enough information to authenticate. And therefore, they know that the phone channel has become their weakest link. They have ways to encourage that customer service agent who is trained and conditioned to provide the best customer service and not necessarily interrogate the caller. And as a result, the phone channel has been one of those areas of vulnerability, which is why PSU has been the first QSO in the industry to deploy fraud detection on our phone channels by partnering up with PinDrop. I will tell you another channel that we have also seen a lot of fraud come through apart from the phone channel and card not present is just on the digital side. Getting access to the online banking accounts, right? Once the fraudster has the ability to have that access, they can do things like balance consolidations, which are very, very lucrative for the fraudsters. So that is another area where we've seen fraud. Rewards. Reward is another channel that, as a result of EMVs stopping the card present channel, it has moved these fraudsters to essentially purchase credentials on the dark web and therefore able to cash out on those rewards. Rewards are already very costly for a credit union to offer to their members in order to retain their loyalty. And most of us as consumers, we typically do not monitor our rewards unless it's time to actually cash them out. And those fraudsters know that. So that is another channel that we've seen quite a bit of fraud, and therefore we have some fraud protection as well. And as a result of all of these different channels that we've seen fraud now traverse, as a result of EMV, PSU has deployed our linked analysis platform, which allows us to truly provide a holistic omni-channel fraud protection to link all of these different channels together in order to prevent that fraudster.
And it's interesting, coming back to this study there, Ivana, as you talk about the digital side, the respondents in the IM payment study, we had 40% of folks that said they really don't want to use digital payment forms because they don't trust them. So there's an opportunity because they're just as safe as the card. But for credit unions to then educate their members about these safety precautions to support them.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure. And there's a lot of art and science that goes into fraud management. I mean, you could stop fraud if you shut down the authorization system, right? So it's a little severe for people who make money on payments. So it's a matter of how well you open those parameters up and really manage things like false positives. But that's really the shift between art and science in a fraud manager's day.
Absolutely. It's the constant balance of member experience and reducing that fraud.
Well, enough about gloom and doom and safety issues. Let's talk about comfort and convenience, Tom. How did those factors fit into this whole play?
Well, clearly, consumers want, and what they told us through the study, both credit union members and non-members, want choice out there. They want to use the most convenient payment form for them, whether it's in the grocery store or at the convenience store or even in paying a babysitter for that service. So they're going to choose what's most convenient. That factors in with that security as the top choices. We also found that as you look at the credit card side, and credit card was really the top payment form chosen for both convenience and safety security across the board, across both audiences, both credit union members and non-members. But on this side, the credit card side, rewards played a factor as well. 93% of credit union users said they received some type of rewards or incentive for using that card when they're paying. 6 in 10 of those are getting some type of cash back on part of the cards. 4 in 10 were having some sort of points opportunity. So clearly rewards are playing in as a factor. probably falls into that convenience side as well, though, Brian, that it falls under that component, but rewards play a factor in there as well for the credit card user.
Sure. And, you know, one thing that always catches my mind with credit unions is the low rate of interest that's charged against the market. You know, typically it's not unusual to see rates between 9 and 13% when the, you know, your basic Chase Freedom card is closer to 20%. So I think those factors play an important role. And really the interest rates and the benefits of membership, rather than being a customer that's being profited by a major money center bank, is a distinguishing characteristic. Let's give a few moments to debit. And, you know, it turns out that what kind of surprising facts did you see out of the debit study?
It was interesting there, Brian and Sarah, because this is one of the areas that where there was a clear distinction between the credit union and the non-credit union member, where debit was much seen as a much better choice for making a payment there, easier to use, something they're comfortable using, convenient, fast transactions. And the other factor that played in here that was distinct, particularly when the credit union member, is the debit cards allowed credit union members to budget more easily. So if you think about the typical persona of a credit union member, they fit into that debit card persona probably a little stronger. And it's reflected, even as PSU serves our owner base, debit transactions are extremely strong still. And that's a big driving factor. So that's really a distinction, I would say, Sarah and Brian, from the debit perspective.
Yeah, and I think that we're predicting, you know, continued strong growth in debit card transactions, which is interesting. But, you know, it does vary between some of the demographics. And, you know, we do see some of the older millennials where debit card is better received. And so I think, you know, some of the information from your study can be helpful to some of your membership to really understand where they can focus their marketing for debit card to achieve the greatest acquisition. But, you know, to your earlier point, you know, consumers really like choice. And, you know, as sort of the economy ebbs and flows, you know, we do see that there's this link between debit card use and credit card use. And I think, you know, members who are really interested in being, you know, top of wallet with their customers, regardless of what the payment choice might be at for any given transaction, you know, being able to offer all solutions, debit and credit, as well as, you know, some of the newer form factors, really helps to consolidate all payments with your member.
As you know, as mobile becomes more of a reality and more point of sale devices are able to accept that, you know, it is going to be a need to push the credit unions to drive that security factor there. And it's really fascinating to watch here in 2019 as contactless becomes more prevalent, especially on the credit side. I know that I heard you on your other presentation, Sarah, and looking at contactless, the debit side is probably not going to happen in 2019 for most institutions because of the cost. But on the credit side, will the contactless be a catalyst to shift to the mobile device because of that ease of use, or will it be so simple to use to just wave your card in front that you don't even shift to the mobile? It's going to be really interesting to watch the marketplace.
And just when we retrained 400 million cardholders in the United States, now it's time to wave. Well, that's great. Any other additions you'd like to mention here while we're all together?
You know, I think overall, PSU was very excited to have a chance to do this deep dive in with consumers, to learn what's important for PSU from an investment perspective to meet the needs of our credit unions and their members, and also for our credit unions to learn this information as they decide which investments they should be making for the future to serve their changing member base. We're going to commit to do this on an annual basis, and we'll look forward to seeing how the trends evolve year to year.